FM.
You might be well aware that tomorrow morning we are anticipating a variety of activity to take place specifically from various unions in South Africa. COSATU has mentioned that they are planning a nationwide stay away tomorrow, the 7th of October, in commemoration of the 13th annual Global Day for Decent Work. Several other trade unions are also coming up on board, particularly SAFTU as well as NUMSA, and all of whom have different strategies as to how they're also looking to raise attention not only to this global event that is witnessed and celebrated globally, but also in terms of understanding and highlighting the concerns regarding corrupt activity in South Africa locally. But to give us a better understanding from a legal point of view as to what the key issues are and matters in terms of contention between the labor unions together with government, and of course an overall understanding of decent work, we join on the line by Adil Patel, National Practice Head of Cliff Decker Hofmeyr's Employment Practice. Adil, a great pleasure to have you with, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for inviting me.
Anytime. And I think perhaps let's start with the matter at hand here. I think for many South Africans, we do understand that we've got labor laws that have been recognized globally. Some of it has been met with some criticism. But where do we stand as South Africa in terms of our labor laws and the whether it's stringent or perhaps whether it works in favor of our employees?
And in fact, that is a misnomer, that our labor laws are too strict for implementation. It's not the labor laws that are too strict, it's the application of our labor laws that have developed into what is now called by some labor court judges into a kitchen industry for particular professions. Our labor laws are there to protect our employees and employers. Insofar as if one compares ourselves to many other first world countries like France and Germany, our labor laws are not that stringent. What, moving on to what COSATU has called for as part of its global protest action, this is something that's going to happen worldwide. Yes. And the operative word that you need to focus on in their protest action is the issue of decent work. Internationally, many employees are embarking on this sort of protest action by not going out on the streets or staying away from work, but highlighting their plight given the COVID-19 pandemic through other means. Within the South African context, and our labor laws allow this, which COSATU has called for a socio-economic protest action, and they've been through, from the media reports, a necessary procedural hurdle to highlight their plight. So I think this is part of an international commemoration of highlighting the plight of employees worldwide generally, and in particular the struggles faced by many employees within the South African context as such.
Makes a lot of sense that you raise it that way in terms of understanding, firstly, our labor regulation and the plight of the workforce in South Africa. But how practical is this? Because we understand changing the law is quite a process. In terms of this particular action, how do we elevate this to make sure that it reaches the necessary boardrooms as well as legislative facilities in order to fast track this into a change, not only in law, but also in implementation?
The plight of workers has always been at the forefront of the trade union movement, the highlighting of it. If trade unions simply sat back and did nothing, then we would not have many of the hard-fought rights that they have as such. Employees are sacrificing a day's wages to highlight to government and to business that we understand that there's a pandemic. We understand that there's global recession. But each time you undertake restructuring, each time you want to increase income, each time you believe that they should be you should go into survival mode, the first thing you do is you attack the salary line of workers. And I think what they're saying is especially if you read Cossato's plight, is that can't be the only way to achieve success. Yes. You need to, as government, start addressing corruption, both public and private sector. And they list a host of things that we as a country need to address so that each time we need to make sacrifices, we don't make it only on the doors of employees as such. So in essence, will anything change by this? Unlikely. Mm-hmm. Will we be told and will we be made to think about workers' plight? Certainly. The old age is, a number of colleagues say that what we are going to be doing is that we're inconveniencing people. People won't earn a day's wages. They've come out from COVID-19 pandemic. But this is how important it is to workers to highlight the issues raised by Cossato, that despite the fact that they've come out of COVID-19 pandemic, where a number of our colleagues and workers did not receive income, they're willing in the interest of South Africa as a whole to highlight the plight of corruption, of frontline workers, of PPE, and the like.
Yeah. Adil, I think we could have this conversation for ages on end, but very briefly, I do want to ask you about how we make sure that the international and global trends of rising unemployment and increase in unequal pay, as we've seen being highlighted by the International Labour Organization, how do we translate this into the South African environment? We understand the pressures that we have, and I think just the recent unemployment numbers paint a very clear picture of the stark realities we face. But what are some of the plausible solutions or conversations we should be having around solutions that we could be able to implement in future?
So the legislative mechanism is there already. We have equal pay legislation, which is similar to the UK, Germany, and France. It's simply a means of utilizing the existing legislative provisions to enforce our rights. The question is whether simply adopting a litigation strategy to enforce equal pay will necessarily close the wage gap. It is unlikely. Anecdotally, the UK has had equal pay legislation since the 60s, they say, and hasn't been able to materially close the gap.
Sure.
This is a long process which needs decisive action by both government and labor and the private sector. It's going to be won through collective bargaining rather than through simply individuals exercising their rights through legislation, through the legislative mechanisms that are available.
Ongoing conversations that need to take place here, Adil, and we thank you for the clarity that you've provided and look forward to understanding just exactly what future processes can be derived in terms of sourcing solutions here in order to make sure that we are all economically productive. Adil, a big thank you for your time today, sir, and looking forward to getting future updates from you. That's the National Practice Head for Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr's Employment Law Practice, Adil.